Welcome to Eltel and John's Netball Weekly Podcast. Come on, Terry, get with the times. Nobody wants to watch Spanish football anymore. Not when the World Climbing Championships are on. And there's live fishing, although I'm not sure whether the fish are still alive by the end. There's definitely 77 hours of live snooker, although I'm not sure whether the spectators are still alive by the end. How would you know? Yeah, all that on a sports channel near you. But there's no Spanish football, not at least for the Brits or the Irish. So that's no Messi, no Hazard, no way of watching Gareth Bale sitting in the stands with his baseball cap on the wrong way around, staring at his phone, wondering why no one from England will ever make it ring. Hopefully this will all be out of date by now, and in that case, I welcome our new overlords and their wonderful coverage that looks suspiciously like La Liga TV. So we go again. Those of you in other parts of the world can send us written accounts by airmail of how Neymar is performing at his new club. Edit that in later. Yes, that's Neymar, the man who PSG signed to win them the Champions League, and since then has played a grand total of, count it, one Champions League knockout tie. So what about PSG's league points tally in Neymar's two seasons? An impressive 184. Compare that to the two seasons before he came, when they got a measly 183. Yes, that's right, €200 million for one extra point to one Champions League knockout game, which they lost. No wonder they want their money back, but hey, Leo wants him. The one thing really likely to improve Barca's points tally is an actual title challenge from somebody else. According to our pollsters, more on them later, Atleti are the most likely to challenge. After all, they bought well, and this could be the year when Simeone finally lets the shackles off. Yeah, come September. Hey, Zhao, look at those running stats. Get down and give me 500 press-ups. Or maybe Real Madrid will win La Liga. Yeah, maybe. After all, we've asked 36 contributors, well-informed observers of Spanish football, to rate every team's prospects, and how many of them think that Real Madrid's summer spending will win them the title? It's a round number. It's a very round number. Yes. Right, so thank you to everybody who got in touch and has given us their predictions. So we're going to look ahead at the season. Those of you in other parts of the world probably don't care about our predicament of not being able to watch the Spanish football. Quite a big thing for us, Terry, isn't it? You're sort of all right, aren't you, in that you go out and do La Liga TV. So yeah. You'll see some of it. So we'll still talk to you, dear listeners, but it's just an absolute shambles, isn't it? So we are sitting... a couple of days ago, I was in Spain, Terry, and it was beautiful. I was running around with just my trunks on and everything else. But now we are sitting in a very
trunks.
Yeah. Well, big shorts. I don't do the tight ones. Nothing is indecent. We are now sitting in a pub car park in your car, which is misted over. Yeah. You might hear the rain splattering on top of the car. So it's all looking very grim. Right, I've been ringing around this morning trying to persuade someone to buy the Spanish rights. They're trying. People are trying. Yeah. There are offers in. So TV companies are interested. Someone told me that La Liga are prepared to go no deal, as it were, this weekend and not have anything on to try and squeeze some more money. I don't know. It doesn't get any better for La Liga the longer it goes on, does it?
No, I think the importance of it is... Yep, I understand the money issue. I really do get that. I get that they need to maximise the revenue to help the clubs in La Liga from not just the UK, but from around the world in terms of TV rights deals. But there's also... We've had a year now where it's been off what you would call mainstream TV. Mm-hmm. Last season it was pretty much on 11 for most of the season, then ITV and Premier Sports towards the end of the season. And I think it's of equal importance is the fact that we just don't want La Liga to disappear. La Liga shouldn't want it to disappear in an important football country. The United Kingdom is important. I think we have to put it into context here as well. They're trying to get the best money they can. But I think this issue goes around the world as well. So like the Premier League, therefore, TV rights, I think, have peaked from worldwide companies that want to pay for, whether it's the Premier League, Bundesliga, La Liga, Serie A. I think we have to remember, in Spain, where I'm fortunate to go once a month at least, they've got the issue pretty similar with the Premier League next season. I think it's DAZN, which is another subscription. It's going to be online. And the people in Spain, they want to watch, first and foremost, La Liga. The Premier League, if it's there and it's handy, without costing them too much money, they will watch the bigger games. And that's exactly the same in this country. Everyone wants to watch the Premier League. People enjoy watching the different leagues from around the world, mainly Europe, and I think they've enjoyed that luxury in the past. It's changing now. You're having to go from various TV subscriptions, subscribers, different channels to get various leagues. And when it becomes too much effort and too much cost, then it becomes an issue. And I think this is a natural conclusion. So I think that not only La Liga, but football countries around the world are selling their rights to foreign countries. I think they have to realise where their place in the market is. And Germany, people want to watch the Bundesliga, they'll tune in and watch La Liga if it's there, and the Premier League and Serie A, same likewise in Italy. I think, first and foremost, each country wants to watch its own domestic competition. People are prepared to pay good money for that, and then they expect the others to be add-ons. So La Liga, I think, first and foremost, have to make sure that there is still interest in La Liga in this country. And I'm not just saying that, I'm not trying to sell this, and I'm sure none of the big wigs at these big TV companies are listening to our podcast, but this is one of the most exciting summers for a long time in Spanish football. So I think it's panning out to be an exciting campaign. I'm excited about the new players, excited about some of the transfers, and it will be a big miss if it's not seen on a regular basis on a channel that a lot of people watch.
Shall we have a look at the season then? What I've done, I've done this before, it's sort of wisdom of crowd. So basically invited our regular contributors. 36 people have taken part, which is a good number, because if it gets too many, first of all, it's too much maths for me to,
exactly,
to work out. And secondly, you don't want it watered down by people who don't know what they're talking about. So these guys, they're the really regular, the hardcore, the people who've paid 11 sports, who actually know it. So not the kind of people that you're talking about, the ones who mainly watch Premier League and might just watch the odd La Liga game. Yeah. Turns out there are lots of those people. Right, so these guys, they know their stuff, and invited them to rank the teams 1 to 20. I've compiled it, and then so we'll use that as the basis of our preview for the new season. You can guess who's top of the list, can't you?
I'm probably on my list as well.
Barcelona?
Barcelona,
yes.
Yep.
Yes. So, let's have a look at Barcelona.
Mallorca. Rich?
Yeah, it was. I'm sorry, Rich. It's the only person, the only one that I regarded as a spoiled ballot. Sorry. I'm sorry to get all liberal elite on you, but you don't know. You didn't know what you were voting for, mate, so you're out. So Barca, top of the list, average 1.28. Range, the one person said they finished third, vast majority said they'd finish top of the league. Are they well set? You'd have to have given how much they won the league by last season, you'd have to have a reason to sort of go against them, wouldn't you?
And I think they're probably stronger.
Yeah.
I think De Jong helps. Griezmann, of course, is going to be exciting to watch. Possibly one of the buys of the season in Junior Firpo, in terms of the fee. When you see what clubs are paying for players now. So, yeah, I don't think they're weaker, if anything, possibly stronger, and we're yet to see what happens with Neymar. So it's hard to back against Barcelona. I get why people are choosing Atletico, but they're an unknown quantity for me still so far.
Let's do Neymar, shall we? It's interesting, this, isn't it? Because we'll basically either make friends or enemies amongst the Barca fans, depending on whether he signs. So at the moment, he hasn't signed. At the moment, Barca sent some people to Paris yesterday to talk. They're going to make an offer. Who knows how it will pan out. My thought on this, I don't know that he brings enough in terms of extra points. As I say, therefore I looked it up. One extra point over two seasons for PSG. One Champions League knockout game that he's played over two seasons. He has moments of brilliance, but for me, he's not in Messi's league in terms of being brilliant week in, week out. He's not even in Griezmann's league of playing as often as Griezmann plays. I know on his day he's better than Griezmann, but Griezmann has lots of days, and Neymar is flits in and out.
That's
now,
a good point.
If you're so rich that you're prepared to chuck, it comes down to the price in a way, doesn't it? How much you're prepared to chuck it? He is a bit of a luxury player.
He is, but from a neutral point of view, I'd love to see him back in the league. For what he does bring. So he does bring star quality. I cannot see how Barcelona can fit him in, but I guess it depends on the players they're offering to PSG, which is going to make up a huge part
of the deal. But it seems to be midfielders that they're offering.
Yeah, and the obvious one would be Dembele.
Yeah.
I'm compromised about Dembele, if I'm being honest, because I've seen enough of him to know that there's genuinely a superstar there. But in the space of 2 years, it hasn't been enough. So it's either do you give up on him persevere with him, and he could ultimately end up being as good as Neymar. Possibly he's still young enough to become better. Because you do see that those moments in that game, in the games he's played, where you think, that was special. But we haven't seen that enough, and there's been far too many games I've seen from Dembele where he gives the ball away cheaply and his work rate isn't the same. I think there's something that Barcelona have lacked in recent seasons from the front three, if I'm being honest, which has led to them being successful domestically because they've got the quality to just be better. But the big games, the classic games in the Champions League, the heavy defeats they've suffered, I think that's one element that's missing from the successful Champions League Barcelona, where the front three were eager to win the ball back quicker, defending higher up the pitch, made life a touch easier for the midfield players. So there's games where Dembele plays and he doesn't contribute to that either. So it's been quite frustrating. But if he's one of the players, I would presume he would be one of the obvious ones, a French player going to play for PSG, a player that's going to be replaced by Neymar, because I'm not sure they're going to squeeze them all in anyway, even without Dembele. I mean, you're looking at a front line of Suarez, Messi, Griezmann and Neymar.
Yeah.
It's going to leave them light in midfield in terms of numbers. You could go De Jong and Busquets. Arturo's been good, so he'd be left out. Do you go from a back four to a three and push and switch things around to get these extra striker or strikers in? So, but from a personal point of view, I'd love to see Neymar back in La Liga. And if I'm being mischievous, imagine him at Real Madrid. That'd bring another element to the Clásicos again, wouldn't they?
Yes. So, yeah, but a lot of money. It's down. I agree with you. If they sell, if they get rid of, sounds harsh. If they manage to send Dembele the other way, don't overpay for him, then it sort of makes sense. It doesn't give them an extra
problem. What surprised
problem.
Me, John, as well, is he appears to be really popular with the players of Barcelona.
Yes, he does.
Now, his image worldwide is of, I think most people love him or hate him. He's obviously got millions of fans around the world that adore Neymar, from playing for Brazil to playing for Barcelona and PSG. But there's a lot of people that don't like him as a player. Equal numbers, I would suggest. But he seems unanimously popular in the changing room at Barcelona from all the players. So he must be a good teammate. They know he's talented. And there's been no doubt coming from the players, the big players at Barcelona, that they want him back. So I think that gives us a little pointer as at the real Neymar that we don't get to see too often. Because if he was a pain in the arse, sorry, a pain in the backside, then I think the only reason, the main reason the club are going for him is because of people like Messi, Piqué, Suarez, who are saying that they want him back. So it's an interesting side to the whole saga.
Shall we have a quick look at Atleti before we do a break? So, according to our pollsters, they were a very clear second. So, above Real Madrid, average score for Atleti, 1.89. So, on average, you know, therefore there are more people saying they'll win the league than saying they'll finish third. So that's quite resounding. You know that's a resounding victory over Real Madrid. We'll get to Real Madrid in a bit, but so people are like the business that Atleti have done. It's like you, I think there are still big question marks. There's a lot of work been done in the transfer market.
And we have to assess them when the real stuff starts. I did watch the win against Real Madrid.
Yeah.
And they were exciting to watch. They've had an excellent win against Juventus with João Felix getting another couple of goals. The transfer signings, Lodi, the left-back, Lodi?
Yeah.
He looks particularly good. I'm interested to see Kieran Trippier play for Atletico Madrid on a regular basis. I'm actually interested to see, and this is no disrespect to Pochettino and coaches he's had in England, I'm actually interested to see if in 2 years' time we're looking at Trippier as a better defender than he ever was.
Yeah.
Because if Simeone was able to make one friend into one of the best right-backs in the world, he was, and I've said it before, flaky right winger at Osasuna, ex-Real Madrid youngster. I never saw anything in one friend to assume he could play right back. But Simeone did it. So with a good pro, a good player in Kieran Trippier, it's going to be interesting to see how he develops. I think Toby Alderweireld said he learned how to be a footballer at Ajax and he learned how to be a defender at Atletico Madrid. And he's gone on to have a great career. So I'm interested to see Trippier. The numbers, it's a numbers game at Atletico as well. How are they going to squeeze them all in? I mean, it's been good business. The players they've bought look really good. We believe Rodri is the latest addition, which somewhat of a surprise and leads me to wonder if there's still time to move Diego Costa on.
Okay, where would he go with that?
China shut.
Yeah, and Premier League shut.
China shut. I don't know. Perhaps it's not going to be now. Perhaps it will be later in January. But I believe he's picked up another injury, muscle injury. He's suspended for the first game of the season. He picked up another muscle injury. There's been hope in the pre-season form of not only Atletico, but Diego Costa, that he's going to bounce back.
Yeah. But that's him, isn't it? Injuries.
Yeah, so this new signing, if they get Rodri in, it goes through, leads me to believe that perhaps Simeone feels that he needed another number. There was talk of James Rodriguez, but I think if they paid us 60 million euros, I think, for Rodri.
It's the Valencia striker, not the midfielder they've sold. Keep the shirt the same.
So it leads me to believe that perhaps Simeone felt it was just a touch light. Morata has injury issues as well. Simeone feels he clearly needs a big, burly, mobile, dynamic centre forward to take the weight off the shoulders of young João Félix to allow him to flourish. So it's another signing. Be interesting to see the other new players they've bought in defence, whether they can influence Atletico in terms of making a difference between finishing in second place and finishing in you know, really challenging Barcelona, because there was still a gap last year. So Marcos Llorente is another player they brought into midfield to replace Rodri. I think that's a good signing. As I said, I think Lodi looks a good player, the likes of Hector Herrera, Saponjic, Amosa we know about. So there's one or two there, Felipe from Porto, that we're going to learn about.
Yeah.
But based on an exciting pre-season campaign, it's looking good for Atletico.
Yeah, we hope to learn about, obviously. It requires us actually to watch them season. Yeah, we see. Anyway, so from a shambles inspired by bizarre political situation, we'll take a break and then we'll talk Real Madrid, which is a totally different matter altogether. Okay, welcome back. We just had a little chat while you were listening to the adverts, hopefully, and making us the vast fortunes that go with doing a podcast. We won't repeat what we were saying when you were listening to the adverts, because we'll never work again. Real Madrid. Right. So, nobody, but literally nobody, Terry, 36 people who follow Spanish football, not a single one of them thought that Real Madrid would win La Liga this season. A vast majority say they'll finish third, so much so that the average point score for them is 3.03. So, you know, almost literally everybody saying they'll finish third. There's not much new for us to add, in that early in the summer you said, you know what, I've got some reservations about all these this transfer business. There's only Hazard that you're looking at that who's actually going to improve the 11. And since we've got bogged down, haven't we, at Real Madrid? Nothing's really changed for weeks.
No, it hasn't. And you look at the players they did sign. They've had a policy of a little while. The Brazilian Rodrigo from Santos, I think 18, is costing them a 40-odd million to go with Vinicius Junior, with Brahim Diaz. So their policy has changed somewhat in terms of looking at the future, which is great if you've got the best Real Madrid version you can have now. But I still feel that they needed bigger change. The points deficit over the last couple of seasons has been far too big against Barcelona. Yes, they've been able to cover it up by being unbelievably successful in the Champions League. But I felt this season was the day, and I thought we were going to see significant changes to the starting 11 at Real Madrid, and we're not. And what's interesting now is I'm looking at the makeup of the Real Madrid team. I'm looking at the back four, I presume it's going to be the same. Carvajal, Marcelo, Ramos, Varane. I'm not sure Militao comes in unless they play three at the back, which Zidane has tried in pre-season, which doesn't look great. He's chopping and changing systems and tactics in the pre-season build-up, which has been an epic failure in terms of results, performances, conceding too many goals. The same problems as last season. I presume we're going to see a midfield of Casemiro, Modric and Kroos. my opinion, I would have a front three of, we haven't seen enough of Jovic, Benzema takes some shifting. Hazard will play, and I still see Gareth Bale.
Yeah. But Zidane seems adamant that he won't, doesn't he?
That can change.
Yeah.
I think he appeared in the last friendly, The last friendly before pre-season. Results change things. If he doesn't start Gareth Bale and they win the first three or four games, then people won't be talking about it. But if they do lose the first one, don't win in the first three or four, don't get the points, don't get the goals, don't have the performances that they desire, the fans desire, then Gareth Bale becomes an issue for Zidane. So, but I still, if you said to me the front three, Hazard, let's go with Benzema at the moment, because I think that's an area they should have really strengthened, and there should be a player there to genuinely challenge Benzema. I'm mystified as to why it's never happened at Real Madrid. And then you have Gareth Bale. It's just a tasty-looking front line. Whether it'll happen, don't know.
My reservation remains the midfield three and the legs and the energy in there. Because I don't think... People like Casemiro because he does the defensive job. I think there's an easy upgrade there.
I think there always has been.
Yeah.
I've always said he was the recipient of being in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
Might be controversial. Yarramendi was there before. I think Yarramendi is possibly a better player, better holding defensive midfield player, but he'd gone. And Casemiro had been out on loan at Porto, came back and was there when Zidane was given the power to use a defensive midfield player because Rafa Benitez didn't feel he had the power to do that.
Yeah, yeah. So literally, it looks better because no one was doing that job. So coming in and doing
Benitez lost the 4-0 against Barcelona at home.
Yeah.
And before you know it, I think there was another game afterwards which he won, but he'd gone. Zidane came in, and it was clear when they lost 4-0 at home to Barcelona, they were in desperate need of holding someone to tie the midfield together.
But in that time, they could have bought N'Golo Kante.
Exactly.
Yeah. And whether Chelsea would sell him in this window, in their situation, and Hazard going, maybe
could
not.
Buy him from Leicester, couldn't they?
Yeah, but over the years, in recent years, they could have had him.
Yeah.
And how much would he have improved?
You could have got Matuidi.
Yeah.
I look back at France in the World Cup. They won the World Cup with four central defenders. There was nothing radical about them. Four central defenders playing in the back four, or four players that can play in central defence. Two of the hardest working midfield players in the World Cup, in Matuidi and Kante. Then you had the star quality of Pogba, Griezmann, Mbappe, and a solid, reliable centre-forward who tied it all together with his hold-up play and his knowledge and intelligence to allow them, the likes of Mbappe, Pogba and Griezmann to flourish. So they could have had Matuidi. He's moved on since then as well, and there's other players that they could have gone for, but Zidane in particular has always favoured Casemiro. And I don't want to be too derogatory about him because he's helped them to win league title. Numerous Champions Leagues. He scored the goal, important goal as well. I'm not saying he's a bad player, but I agree with you. I think there was an obvious upgrade waiting to be done for a club like Real Madrid there.
And Pogba, we're guessing no now? I know Zidane was desperate to get him in.
It's not impossible. It would be highly unlikely, I would imagine, that Manchester United would let him go unless he makes it clear and his behaviour changes. But at the moment, he's been a good professional.
Yeah.
And waiting for Real Madrid for another day. So if the money's not spent on Pogba, then it's available to spend on someone else. Spend that money wisely would be my advice to Real Madrid in terms of strengthen the obvious places that you need to strengthen. And the central midfield, they've got an abundance of players that could play wide. I picked Gareth Bale. You've got the other players that are still there. Isco can play out there. Isco can play in midfield. Is he a first-team starter? Probably not. Lucas Vazquez is my bet for...
Young Lucas Vazquez.
Young Lucas Vazquez and young Nacho to back up the squad. But he does appear in more games than anyone else for Real Madrid under Zidane. There's an upgrade needed there. Then you've got the two young Brazilians. You've got youngster Brahim Diaz. Asensio out injured for a while, so it's top heavy. When I look at their midfield players, I don't see too much. I don't even see players threatening to
move
Casemiro and Modric and Kroos.
A couple of injuries
out of the team,
and you're patching up the team. Yeah, playing players out of
which
position,
which makes it even more remarkable. They allowed Marcus Llorente to leave without bringing in a replacement.
So, I'm afraid that's not very optimistic about Real Madrid, is it?
And Ceballos.
Yeah. I mean, that was. I mean, Arsenal fans must be delighted. 5 million loan fee.
Well, they've got to play.
They.
Yeah, there's another podcast. Managers drive me mad that sign players and then want them to settle in for 6 months before give them a start. Or maybe a couple of League Cup games. Yeah. But that was, I noticed that in the Premier League last week, the amount of players that, oh no, it's too complicated for you to join a club. And play.
And go and play football.
You can't do that. So we can have Guendouzi and Willock in midfield. And if I'm Danny Ceballos now, I know I'm going off track slightly, I would be absolutely fuming that I've left Real Madrid's bench to go and sit on Arsenal's bench. Yeah. And he must be thinking, oh, it's happened to Denis Suarez. we never saw him. Talented footballer, whether he's good enough for Arsenal, probably not. Yeah. That was
but
my opinion.
Ceballos is better,
when it happened.
It?
Yeah. Ceballos should have got him. So, but the point I'm making is, perhaps Real Madrid should have kept Ceballos.
Yeah.
And genuinely let him challenge Kroos and Modric.
Yeah.
As opposed to, there's no competition for that place in midfield.
Let's do the battle for the Champions League places, or let's do a couple of them. Right, we have in fourth and fifth, it was almost neck and neck with our combined votes. So winning it so it's 4.77 versus 4.89. And a range, people thought Valencia would finish anywhere between third and ninth. They thought Sevilla would finish anywhere between third and seventh. But Valencia just about nick it ahead of Sevilla. It shows you it's a good set of people because it's a very hard one to separate. It's a close call, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the same top four and the same positions as it has been for the last two seasons.
Yeah,
hard to go against that, despite the fact Valencia were relegation threatened for the first half of the season, and the only time they got into fourth was the last game, penultimate game of the season. So it was a remarkable season in the end for Valencia, winning the Copa del Rey.
Yeah.
When's that Super Cup, by the way? The traditional curtain raiser in La Liga. That was January, isn't it?
Yeah.
14 tournament in the Middle East.
Yeah, that's it. Traditional.
So Valencia did remarkably well. Great to see them stick by a manager. But things are a little bit murky at the moment at the Mestalla in terms of the relationship between the director of football, the manager of the football club, the head coach Marcelino, and of course the owner Peter Lim, and the supporters are a little bit anxious that Rodrigo looks like he's been allowed to leave to go to Atletico Madrid. They have brought Maxi Gomez in. I saw they signed Elakim Mangala as well.
Yeah.
He's been out injured for a long time, but I think that could be a decent signing once he recovers his full fitness.
Yeah, he's good in the league before, isn't he?
So it's a difficult one to call because I know you're talking about Sevilla. When I said Atletico are an unknown quantity, but they are to a degree.
Yeah.
We all believe and hope they're going to be as good as we fingers crossed, that we all expect them to be. Sevilla are exactly the same without the extravagant star quality signings that Atletico have made. So there's lots of new names at Sevilla. I think, in theory, it could be, apart from the goalkeeper, a whole new team.
Oh, but literally, we could have had this discussion about Sevilla
last
year on
seasons.
Year. Yeah. Because they just... I just think, I look at them, and people hail Monchi a genius, and I just think, would it kill you just to settle in and let the manager and some players actually get to know each other?
I think we have to allow him that this season because it's his first season.
But so it hasn't been away long.
But 3 seasons probably.
Yeah, a couple of
At Roma and so he probably looked at it last year and they've just about qualified again for the Europa League. They just about qualified for the Europa League the season before, and he's probably a good time for him to come in to allow him to look at the season. The second half of the season, mainly, to assess what was needed, and I guess with Sevilla, they're not financially backed to the degree of maybe a Valencia. They're not as wealthy as Atletico and Barcelona and Real Madrid. So this is their way of competing. It's worked in the past. Whether it's going to work this season, I don't know. I mean, I'd love to be one of these pundits that knows everything about every single player, but I don't know too much about De Boer, who they built from Salzburg. Diego Carlos from Nantes, and we know Jean Jourdain, of course. Luke de Jong was a didn't do particularly well at Newcastle a few years ago. I don't want to go on because we need to keep the podcast relatively brief. But there's Oliver Torres. That's an interesting one.
Yeah.
A new coach in Lopetegui. So I'm actually surprised that people have gone with Sevilla as the,
as high up as they
high
are.
Up. Right, yeah. Possibly, yeah. I mean, Sevilla could be, they could challenge Real Madrid if all goes according to plan. As we expect it to be Barca and Atletico and then Real Madrid in third. Sevilla, in theory, could, you know, could close that gap on Real Madrid, but we don't know. So it's going to be, again, another good reason to hopefully watch La Liga this season.
Yes. I tell you what, shall we leave it there for now, and we'll carry on, because we need to do 6 to 20, but much as we're enjoying sitting in a car in the rain so much that we can't stop ourselves talking. So we've gone on a bit too long, and so I tell you what, we'll pause there, we'll come back with a whole new other podcast, which basically we're going to carry on talking, and we'll have a look at the best of La Liga. So, yeah, rejoin us again soon.